This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly with the thought for today. And the thought for today is a little different. We're all talking about how healthy we'd like to be, how wealthy we'd like to be, how happy we'd like to be, how illumined we'd like to be, how spiritually uplifted we'd like to be. We're all talking about these things, and we say, wouldn't it be wonderful to be our young self again, you know, when we were 25, of course that's what I am, and wouldn't it be wonderful to be our young self again when we are just a teenager full of life and spit and vinegar? Or wouldn't it be wonderful to be a 7, 8, 9-year-old again with unlimited energy, and when you are tired, you just lay down, go to sleep, where we are, and then 2 minutes later, you're up and at it again. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like that? Well, those are called tips. Those are called tipped experiences, peak experiences. When you are a little child and you are almost never without energy, you just have energy to burn. And when you're tired, you just lay down a few minutes and sleep, and then up again, you're at it, you know, just as though you never stopped. You have unlimited energy. When you're a teenager, my goodness, you can go dancing all night and running around the country and come home, and then you like to sleep too, unless there's another dance to go to. If there's another dance to go to, while you're out there, if you have work to do, or if you have things to do around the house, or if you have schoolwork to do, oh, you're just so dead tired because you're out so late. But if it's another dance, you're up and at 'em. See, those are peak experiences. They're peak attitudes. And the peak word might be dance. The peak word might be picnic or baseball. Hmm?
Music.
Or music, yeah. The peak word could be any one of these things. And we remember that. Then, when your body is supposed to be at its peak from 25 to 35 years, when you are just your fullness of who you are, that's a nice peak time too, you know. Your body basically is in perfect health. It basically, everything works well. Your eyes are good, ears, nose, throat, and everything else. Oh, there are a few exceptions. But the majority are in peak condition. So now, here you are, a mature adult, and you're looking back at those peak times. And as you look back at those peak times, you think to yourself, oh, it was so great when I was 25, when I was 30. It was so great, this and that. And you see, those are not the things. You do not want to be 25 or 30 anymore. You do not want to be 7 or 8 or a teenager. You want their peak experiences. And their peak experiences are universal. Their peak experiences, you will see people living in the peak experiences of their, if you will, youth when they're in their maturity. They oftentimes say to older people, act your age, you know. And they often, that's middle-aged people, you know. They oftentimes say to middle-aged people, why don't you act like you're supposed to? You know, you're wearing the wrong clothing. You're wearing clothes of when you were a teenager. You're wearing attitudes of when you were a young person. You know, you're just not acting your age. Well, these are all attempts of ours of being eternally young. Now, when we are eternally young, we don't act. When a child is 7 or 8 years old, just filled with energy, he's not acting. That's his reality. When a teenager has her boyfriends or girlfriends or his boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever, and he's out with them all night long, and then he has to get up and go to work the next day, he gets up and goes to work the next day because he knows he's got to make some money to go out the next night. And he's got motivation to do it. Not the motivation to go to work, but the motivation to get the money so he can go out in his outings. Now, we don't want to be that, but we want that unlimited idea about your body and about yourself, and the unlimited idea of who you are and what you are. And that is not a matter of age. That's not a matter of so many years. That's a matter of attitude. Now, when you are, I just told Ellen to give Rex a little piece of her banana, and the banana piece was 3 inches long when I told him. And as she looked at Rex, and she took another bite, and she took another bite, and she took another bite, finally there was about a quarter of an inch left, and she gave it to Rex, and she says, "It's my banana. I'm enjoying it." But Ellen, here, this is about a peak experience now. Why did you create me having you give the banana to Rex?
I would have given it by myself.
Well, you created yourself doing it because, look, she holds the banana up in the air like this, peels it so all of us can watch her peeling the banana, the last one in the bowl, and she's eating it, but the last one in the bowl. And still, Ingeborg, you don't go and get that. This is a lecture, and I'm using illustrations, and these are all illustrations. And you're an illustration, too. Stay here for the lecture. I mean, you can go get a banana later.
Right.
I know you're going to get it for somebody else, but it wouldn't hurt you to eat more bananas, too. Put potassium in there. Yeah. So, now, we want that peak experience of when we feel so good. Ingeborg, did you feel good when you were getting up just now?
Yes.
Why did you feel good when you were getting up just now? Did you think you were a teenager?
I'm young.
Yeah, you're young. But did you think that you were filled
with...
Ageless. No, that's a good term. She's ageless. She's without age. She was neither born nor died nor lived. She's just ageless. No, that's all fine and dandy. Now, we're talking about living our peak experiences throughout our life. Now, would you like to live as a teenager, just for the fun of it right now, with the knowledge you have in your head right now? You know what would happen? Ellen says, "Oh, yes, 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 yes." But you know what would happen? If you were a teenager with the knowledge you have in your head right now, you would be a very miserable teenager, because you'd think before you did things. You would think things were impossible. You would think that there are things you shouldn't do, and certainly no proper teenager would ever do those things, and yet every teenager does, because that's what's proper for teenagers. You see, you and your mature attitude of today, living in a teenage attitude of yesterday, doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be the teenage. If you want to be the teenager's body, to be the teenager's mind, to be the teenager's experience, you want their frivolity. You want their openness, their freedom. They're not limited. They say they don't know that they shouldn't do things, you know, mm-hmm. But they say, "How much can I get away with?" Now, you see, you and your maturity, you do that too. You're always doing, "How much can I get away with?" But the thing is, yes, you are, Ellen. Now, Ellen is the chief executive officer. She is the chairman of the board, and she's, well, you name it, financial officer and what have you for the organization here. And Ellen has four piles on her mail table. One pile is a pile of worthless stuff that goes into file 13.
It's already gone.
And it's already gone. The next pile is a pile that goes to Ingeborg. Another pile is a pile that goes to Sylvia. And another pile, this is the biggest pile, is the pile that goes to Herb with all the magazines and all the junk stuff in it. And then to Ellen just goes the few little bills and other literature that she thinks she might like to read and know. Now, Ellen thinks that nobody notices that. She thinks that nobody really realizes what she does. But Ellen goes through every magazine that has anything of interest in it and glances at it, whether it was to Sylvia or Ingeborg or to me. She just flit through there, just as though she's an irreverent teenager, you know, going through our mail, our junk mail. But if she were truly a teenager going through it, she would not think she was doing anything wrong. Now, perhaps she doesn't think she's doing anything wrong because she's a boss and she's got to know everything that's going on. But if for 1 minute she thought she was doing something wrong, then she would be having a great problem. Now, all of us would like to live our peak experiences in the now in life. We would like to live in the now with our perfect health, live in the now with our independent wealth, live in the now with our relationships with everybody, A number one, everybody loves us and we love everybody, and on and on. Now, what is keeping us from doing that? What is keeping us from doing that is that we think that we are not. We think that that time has passed. We think that if I had just grabbed the brass ring as the wheel was going around, I could have won, but I didn't. Now, you see, at the time that the brass ring's going around, you don't grab at it because you're it. You're happy. You're content. You don't want any more. I can see Ellen grabbing for the free ride on the loop-de-loop. You know, these things go roo, 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 roo. Turn her upside down, inside out, and all around. And Ellen just loves those things for everybody else.
Yes,
and but that she doesn't create in her world. Now, what do I want to create in my world? Well, I want to create peak experiences at all times. When I am giving a lecture, I want my audience to think as much of the lecture as I do, that it's fantastic, it's glorious, with beautiful ideas, beautiful concepts, and they're just watering at the mouth, waiting for me to say more beautiful things. And when I'm done, they just sit in absolute silence and meditate on what I've said and drink it in and feel so glorious about it. They don't need to applaud. They don't need to smile. They don't need to do anything, but just intuitively accept it. Now, this is my ideal, okay? Now, what's my ideal health? My ideal health is when I haven't the slightest idea that I have a body. My ideal health is when I have not the slightest idea that I have a body. I don't even know I have a toe. I don't even know that I have a hurt. I don't even know that I have a toothache. I don't even know that I have what. And I look with perfect eyes. I hear with perfect hearing, perfect ears, and so forth. I speak with a perfect voice. You see, when you live in the perfect body, it's not something to be. It's something that is. And I don't think about my voice, it just is perfect. I don't think about my hearing, it just is perfect. I don't think about my eyesight, it's just perfect. Because you see, everything that I am is and is in me and is perfect and is done. Now, our big problem, my big problem, the world's big problem, is that we think that that was yesterday, that our wealth, oh, I was wealthy one time, or two times, or 10 times, but, you know, now I'm not as wealthy. Interesting. I was reading about the Farouk, his nephew. King Farouk, he died, and his nephew is very comfortably fixed. He has $22 billion that he spends.
No.
$22 billion. And he has the majority of that invested in American activities in America from his home. And he just does fine. He just does fine. And his investments are some of the finest, the highest and best, including Apple Computer. And Starbucks, and many other things that you'd hardly think that he'd be invested in. But he's invested in all these top winner stock. And what does he think? Does he think he's a rich man? He is a rich man.
He doesn't think it.
Does he think about his money? No. He thinks, how can I have fun with it? How can I watch it grow, and how can I have it do all sorts of fun things? He doesn't think of it as saying, oh, I got to be careful, I might lose it, you know. I got to be careful on this investment, I might lose. He thinks, I'm going to have fun on this investment, I'm going to win. I'm going to make that stock look so important that everybody wants to buy it. And then I'll sell. But the thing is, he uses his imagination. He uses his creativity. He does not think poverty. Now, was he ever poor? Sure. He probably didn't know he was poor when he was poor, because he thought he was rich. But this is how we want to always feel, that we are independently wealthy. There's no limit to what we can do. But if we think we're going to be independently wealthy, then, oh, I'd love to be independently wealthy. Well, then you aren't and you never will be. Because as long as you love it, that means you're not it. When you are it, it's just an is that you're doing. Now, people want health. They go to the doctor. They go to clinics. They go to healing acupuncturists and chiropractists and alternative medicine people and metaphysical people, and they say, heal me, heal me, heal me. And so they are so stupid. They're so absolutely stupid. And people hate me when I say stupid, but they're so absolutely stupid because they go there and those people see them whole and perfect. They're whole and perfect. Well, I want to really be whole and perfect, like you are, you know, but you're whole and perfect. But I'm not looking. Well, look through my eyes. Come on over here. Look through my eyes. Now, what do you see when you look at you? Oh, I'm whole and perfect. Well, now, through your eyes, look at yourself. Now, what do you see? Oh, I got work. No, no, no. You're whole and perfect. That work to do is done. It's over with. It's no longer part of you. What you are is whole and perfect right now. Look at yourself through the eyes of the Christ. Look at yourself through the eyes of a person who is in tune with your reality. We all talk about sensitives. We all talk about mystics. We all talk about spiritualism and psychic people and things like that. And many doctors are like that. They look at their patient and they can see exactly what's wrong and they know exactly what to do about it. But they can't stop there. They have to now give them the physical examination. They have to now give them the physical things. But as far as the doctor is concerned, these are all the medicines that the doctors are now giving you are placebos. Because the doctor sees you perfect. And he just gives you these placebos so that you'll feel comfortable in being perfect. Now, you go home, and in 3 days, you'll feel just fine, as though you never had any problem. And you didn't. Not in the doctor's mind. But you see, live in your tip-top awareness of yourself right now. If Heinz were to say to me right now, he says, Herb, I'm fantastic. I'm whole and perfect. I'm utterly amazing. I'd say, you woke up. You woke up. You've always been that way. Now you woke up. Now you know you're that way. Now you're going to start acting like that way. Before, you didn't act that way because you were asleep. You didn't know that that's who you were. Like when Ellen tells me the story about her husband. Her husband, alias, his name is Light, you know, the sun, moon, stars. Well, she came up to alias one day after she'd been studying at the University of Healing for a long time. And she says, alias, I'm God. Alias, you're God. Did you know that? Alias said, yeah, I've always known that. And I've always known that. And Ellen, I'm so happy that you know it now too. Not that he is God, but just she is God. And you see, when we come to this awareness, those who are about us, who are intuitive, who are sensitive, who are alert to these things, what do they say? They say, you got the message, you know? Or they don't even say you got the message. Hey, that's the way I've always seen you. That's the way I've always seen you. I've always seen you whole and perfect. I've always seen you fantastic. I've always seen you immortal, living forever. I was at the INTA meeting, the 50th anniversary for Blaine and Betty Mays, and the dancers were in their 70s, and they looked very pretty. The man was very Much a dancer, looking very slim, and the woman was a little fuller, but still very nice. And so I said to the woman, because I look at her through my divine eyes, I said to her, wow, you're great. You dance like an angel. You just make it seem like dancing is the easiest thing in the world. She says, oh, I'm getting old, and I'm not all that I used to be. I said, what? I said, you're fantastic. But whatever you want to be, you go ahead and be it. But I see you as wonderful. And she looked at me, sort of startled. But you see, in metaphysics, this is what we teach and share. This is what we believe. I looked at a number of other people there. One man was 90, and he was pretending different things. And I said to him, ha, you're fantastic. I said, I bet you're a pilot. He said, yes, I was. And I said, I bet you flew the big ones. Yes, I did. Yeah, I can figure. You're a comfort couch person. You like to fly the B-17s and the the big one, the bombers, because then you just sit back in your easy chair and they just go and fly themselves, and all the little buzzies around you keep you protected. He says, yeah, that's right. He said, I used to fly the fighters first, he said, but that was too much bother. But you see, I knew that he was a couch potato, and I knew that. And so then he started reiterating a few of his couch potato itises, and I said, but I see you perfect. I see you wonderful. I see you fantastic. And he was sitting next to me, and he kept shoving his chair closer to my chair, and we were right on top of it ready, and we were right in the front row at the party, but he just couldn't get enough. And then what happens? I go and choose a table, and I sit down, and he and his wife come and sit down right next to me. And the table is just filled with people who remember, you know. But it's so wonderful. We want to be on top of everything. We don't want to have our peak experiences be our exceptions. We want our peak experiences to be the common, the everyday experiences. Every day we're in a high. Oh, I don't want to be in a high every day. Wow, I'd burn up. No, you wouldn't. If you were in a spiritual high every day, you wouldn't burn out. If you were in your spiritual high every day, you would be filled with energy. And the atoms of your body, you've got enough atoms in your body to create a billion new universes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so why not let some of that energy shoot off and have fun and be wonderful and be in your peak experience and your tippy-top experience every moment of the day. You're not going to be a teenager anymore, but you're going to have all the fun the teenagers had without the worry. Teenagers are always worried, oh, what if mom catches me? Or what if this? And you don't have to worry about that. You know, you're your own mama, your own daddy. But and when you're in middle age, you know, you got responsibility to make a living for the family and do these things. And now you know that you're independently wealthy. And that anything you think about, you just demonstrate it in your life as a revealed reality. Because you know the thoughts are things, and that anything you think about is a reality right now. And you just call it forth, because that's the fun thing to do. Live in your peak experience. Now, here you are, 3,000 years old, been around the block a couple times, never forget anything. You're on top of everything. And so the Library of Congress burns down. And so, theoretically, the books are all gone. And so you, in your absolute genius, you create a little box, and in that box, you just put the titles of all the books that were in the Library of Congress, and poof, they manifest. Or maybe you don't even have to have the box. But you manifest them. Or, in my thinking, you would manifest them all on chips in the Library of Congress, and it would only take a room maybe the size of our kitchen, you know, all the books in the world, and little chips. And these chips all remain in the Library of Congress forever. And if you ever want to read a book or read anything, then that chip is copied to you and you have it yours forever. You have all the stuff that was in that as a copy. You know, you know how quickly we can copy things on the computer? Well, copy right to your mind, because they vector in on you with their GPS, and they know right where you are and right where your brain is, and they pop it right into your receptor part of your brain, which receives new chips, new information. And of course, when you're done with it, you no longer want to have a Library of Congress in you, and you just spit it out and throw it in the trash, or it dissolves or disappears or never was, or maybe it's all a mental activity. Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. So, why not? Why not? And you're reading ancient history and you think, gee, the time of the pyramids would be lots of fun. I am going, I'm there. I'm watching the pyramid being built. And I am talking to the architect. The architect itself. And lo and behold, the architect was me.
Yes.
And I forgot. I forgot that I had done that so many centuries before, so many millennia before. But it's wonderful. But see, this is peak experience, tip-top experiences. This is the being there attitude and the nowness that is what we are. And all of you have perfect health. All of you have perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, perfect omniscience, you know. All of you have omnipotence, the power of, but you see, the power is the ability to tell yourself that it is done. The ability to tell yourself that it is all. You are the allness. The ability, it is the power to reveal to yourself anything you want to reveal. That makes it a lot of fun, doesn't it? But just think, we live our life not because we want to live with eternal youth, see, there's that word. We want to live with the values, with not the values, but with the meaning of eternal youth. And the meaning is eternally young, always having all your limbs in perfect condition, and all your attitudes in perfect condition, your mind in perfect condition, everything operating ideally. See? That's where we are. And it's a kind of a nice thought for today, isn't it?
Beautiful.
So think on these things and apply them, because they're just as near as your thought about them. Have a lovely day, and know I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you, love you, love you.